And if you've never tapped into it, it's not God's fault, it's your fault. But now all that remains available to you. And the question is, when are you going to tap into it? It is the Holy Ghost and his personal involvement on the inside of us that brings us the increase that we're talking about. Let's talk about, tonight we want to talk about Paul's source of revelation knowledge. Now, when God pointed out all these things in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he wasn't trying to be mean, because God never points things out to you if he doesn't give you a way to fix it. See, the first thing praying in tongues does is going to show you what's wrong with you. Don't shout me down now. I know you don't like that. But he's going to show you something's wrong with you. Why? He's got to make you see the way you're going, it ain't the right way. And he's going to point that out to you. That's his job. That's what he's been called to do. But what the Apostle Paul was saying is this: I'm calling this carnality out to you, but I'm going to show you how to fix it. And the way you're going to fix it, he was telling them, is to personally enter into the presence of God and be transformed to receive his increase. He reveals the sources of revelation knowledge and the walk of the powerful, the new creation in Christ, as well as the way out of their carnality. In the entire book of 1 Corinthians, God is addressing who? Did you realize the entire book of 1 Corinthians, do you know who it's written to?
Baby Christians.
And I got people saying, man, I want to know about the gifts. Okay, baby. You're a babe in Christ. Because when you get mature, the gifts just flow. They're gifts. They'll just flow in your ministry. You don't have to go out and try to get them. They just come to you. Why? Because God wants you to have them. But as babes in Christ, you're trying to get them. I want this one. I want that one. I don't know why I can't have that one. I want to go sit and get that. You're a babe in Christ. You're telling me you're a babe in Christ. I'm not being ugly. Listen, I told you tonight was going to be a little twist, didn't I? Well, now we're going to get into the meat of this thing now. But it's addressing the babes in Christ. He wants them to gain access to the same source that he used to grow and develop. Now remember, Paul was destroying and killing the church. He was a murderer. How many of you have murdered somebody in this room? Never mind, don't raise your hand. I don't want nobody coming here thinking we got criminals hanging out in here. But I dare think anybody here has murdered anybody. But Paul was a murderer, and God used him. Did God favor him because of who he was? God favored him none at all. The reason he had God's favor in his life was because he knew how to spend time with the Holy Ghost. He made it a priority. Once again, as a minister of the gospel, I can only give you instructions about how to get into his presence, but I cannot give you your ministry. I cannot give you your anointing. Or even your desire to fulfill your ministry. I can teach you about faith. I can teach you about love. I can teach you about all those things. But I can't give you the anointing to fill those offices. No one, only God can give you these things. So let's talk about biblical mysteries. If you would go over the 1 Corinthians, you're there in 1 Corinthians. Go down in chapter 2, verse 7 and 4. Somebody read the 7 and 8, excuse me, 7 and 4. 7 and 8, please. Somebody read that, please. Remember that word, mystery. Go ahead. Okay, that's good enough. Stop right there. Now, the key word I want to pick up on there is mystery. Can anybody tell me what a mystery is? I expect you to know. Let somebody else tell me. Does anybody know what a mystery is? A biblical mystery. What is a biblical mystery? Now, you've been reading this for all these many years. You don't know what it is? Huh? You're flying around an airport, but land the plane. That's natural mystery. Well, you're flying around the airport. Let me give it to you. That which cannot be gained through natural apprehension, but can only be obtained through divine intervention. So you'll never understand the truths behind the word of God because they cannot be obtained through natural apprehension. You're not going to apprehend the true secret things of God by simply reading the Bible and using your brain power. But as you begin to spend time praying in the Holy Ghost, that's what I call you begin to use a spiritual application. Okay, so a mystery is that which cannot be gained through a natural apprehension, but can only be obtained through divine intervention. In the case of God's plan of redemption, it was necessary for the cross to be hidden in God as a mystery. Nobody knew what it was. Isn't it strange that the Apostle Paul is the one that began to compare the law to the New Testament? No other apostle could do that. They all knew the law, but the Apostle Paul was able to take the law and begin to compare it in the New Testament or begin to relate it to us today. How could he do that? He was receiving divine intervention. He was receiving divine intervention. Now go over and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12. Now before you go there, I think go over to Isaiah 55, 8. Somebody go to Isaiah 55, 8. The verse I'm looking for, and you may can quote it better than I can, I have not seen, ear has not heard. Anybody know that verse? I want you to read that. Is that Isaiah 58, 4, or something like that? 58, 4? It's somewhere in there. It was in the First Corinthians. But hold on, you're getting ahead of me, sister. You're getting ahead of me. First Corinthians, Isaiah says, I'm sorry, here's what Isaiah says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As far as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways. How many remember that verse? Okay, now, how many people are still quoting that? I hear it quoted all the time. It's Old Testament. Now, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, and read verse 9 first. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Anybody?
But as it is written, what no eye has seen,
nor ear heard,
nor the heart of man,
nor entered into the heart of man,
but God has prepared for those who love him.
No, you missed a part. The things that God has prepared for him, but God has revealed to them those to him by his Spirit. Isn't that how that goes? Isn't that what, that's verse 10? Okay, so 9 and 10 are together. So the thing is this. God is saying, nobody has ever seen what I've prepared for you. You've never had a glimpse of it. And you never will get a glimpse of it. Now read verse 11, since that was in verse 10, or is it verse 12? When it says, but God. Okay, read verse 11 then. But God. Okay, but read it then. But God.
But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit is all things, yea, the deep things of God.
Now listen to this verse. This verse, these verses contain Old Testament, and then they flip to New Testament. Old Testament was, your ways are not my ways. As far as the heavens are above the earth. In other words, you don't know what I'm doing, but I'll tell you what I'm doing. But now we flip over to the New Testament. He says, but God has revealed them unto us how? By his Spirit. Do you get in the church? You're not going to receive the deep things of God using your natural mind. God has designed the system to where you'll get it as you spend time praying in the Holy Ghost or spend time fellowshipping with the Spirit of God. That's how they reveal to you. That's the law. That's what those verses are saying. We're no longer in the Old Testament. God wants us to know these things. But the thing is this. How many of us have been born again for several years and don't know the deep things of God? We're still saying, my ways are not your ways. And God's going, you're not in the Old Testament any longer. I took you out of the Old Testament. You're in the New Testament. He's saying, I have revealed these things, the secret things, the hidden things, the things that I've hidden from the world. I have revealed them unto you by the Spirit of God that dwells within you. Okay? So, what is the job of the Holy Ghost? His number one job is to reveal is to take the wisdom of God, the same wisdom that was hidden in God as a mystery ever since the foundation of the world, and reveal it unto you. This is why you pray in the Spirit. When you begin to pray in the Spirit, you don't understand what you're saying. You're praying out a mystery. You don't know what you're saying, but it's going to come back to you. Why? Because every prayer that is designed by God, every prayer is designed by God to be what? To be answered. Even the prayer praying in tongues. How do I know if I ask God for $100? How do I know when the prayer has been answered? Not a tough question, not a trick question. What's the answer? When I get the $100 right there, the prayer is answered. So how do I know when God answers the prayers I pray in tongues? When I get revelation knowledge. When he begins to reveal to me. All of a sudden I'm sitting down and I'm reading a chapter and I'm going, what is he saying here? And I keep reading it, and it begins to unravel. I'm going, my God. You ought to literally shake as you pick up the word of God, knowing that there's somebody inside of you that will go behind the scenes when this word was literally written and tell you what was on these men's mind when they wrote this word. He will literally do that to you. Why? That's what Jesus paid for. It's no longer hidden. It's to be revealed. And those of you that are still living in the hidden days, you got to catch up. Amen. It's not designed to be hidden any longer. Okay? So, let's find out what this link is between tongues and revelation knowledge. Paul went on to say in 1 Corinthians 14, he went on to say, in 1 Corinthians 14:8, he said these words, I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than you all. Now, if I stood in front of you tonight and I said, I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than Aranda, what would you think I was doing? You think I'm bragging. But Paul wasn't bragging. He didn't have anything to brag about. You know what he was saying? I am trying to reveal to you the source of how God gives me all these secrets and mysteries and reveals this stuff unto me, because I pray in tongues more than you do. Now, I would say this. I have gotten a lot of revelation. I know a lot of revelation. And I got the revelation because I spent time praying in tongues, and in some cases more than you. I'm not bragging. Here's what I'm saying. The same revelation is available to you. It's, I don't have a market on it. I don't have a block on the market. I don't have it all boxed into myself. Anybody can do this. But you've got to pay the price to get in there every day when you're going, I don't really want to go in there and pray. I'm so tired. Tell your flesh to shut up and get in there and listen. The Bible says these words. If you have faith, the grain of a mustard seed. Go in there and muse. I've gone to my prayer closet and gone, I don't want to pray. What am I doing? I'm just having a little bit of faith and I'm releasing it. And after a while, the flesh gets put under and the spirit man comes up and here I go. And I asked myself, what would have happened if I would have stopped? I would have missed an opportunity. And I'm telling you something, I've stopped so many times before, I'm wondering, where should I be? Because it sounds like to me, the Apostle Paul, when he started praying in tongues, he didn't stop. There are men I know that pray in tongues all day long, literally. And I hear that all the time. I pray in tongues all the time, Pastor Craig. Then why are you walking in so much flesh? If you pray in tongues that much, we would see the more spiritual side of you and not the flesh side of you. When your neighbor, when somebody in your church walks by you and don't say good morning, you won't go, they didn't speak to me this morning. You won't be offended. When the good pastor doesn't recognize you as being a good volunteer, you won't get offended because he didn't recognize you and recognize everybody else and let your name off the list. You won't be offended. Don't shout me down now. You know I'm preaching home. Do you think that it was a coincidence that number one, Paul operated in more revelation knowledge than anyone else of his day? Do you realize the apostles, those that walked with Jesus, respected Paul? They went, how do you get this revelation, man? Where are you getting it from? Do you remember when Paul confronted Peter? And Peter was trying to get the Jews to go back to eating kosher food. man, Paul yoked him to the side and said, "You wrong, man. You hypocrite." He called it dissimulation. He says, "You hypocrite. You're putting the people back on this kosher diet, and yet you're telling me that you've been washed by the blood of the Lamb? You're wrong." How could Paul do that? How could he talk to somebody like Peter that walked with Jesus? I mean, I bet Peter wanted to go, "Listen, pipsqueak, I walk with the man. Don't tell me about this new birth. I walk with him. I talk with him. I slept with him. I hung out with him. Man, we hung out together all the time for 3.5 years. And you're telling me?" And Paul said, "But I pray in them other tongues. And I've received revelation knowledge that you haven't even tapped into. And you're wrong." That's the difference. You see, the Apostle Paul really never had to defend himself. Why? The Spirit of God defended him. Amen. Jesus never defended himself. He never defended himself. He didn't have to, because the Spirit of God took care of him. And if when we become mature, when we get out of this, quit walking as flesh creatures, guess what? We'll quit defending ourselves. See, I don't have to defend myself against why I believe a certain way so far as my political persuasion. I ain't got to defend it. Why? The Bible defends itself. I'm voting for someone. I'm voting for the guy that believes in Judeo-Christian principles, period. That don't mean killing babies. Don't shout me down now. That's the guy that I'm voting for, or gal that I'm voting for. White, black, brown, I don't care. If they believe in Judeo-Christian principles, that's who I vote for, and I don't have to defend it. Why? The Bible defends itself. Okay? Someone comes to me and says, "Well, aren't you just hate the homosexuals." I love them, but I hate their sin. And the wages of sin is death. And when you love somebody, you tell them the truth and not try to candy coat it. See, if the bridge had washed out along the freeway, and I knew it, and I didn't tell you, and you lost your life, and I didn't tell you about the bridge being washed out, there's something wrong with me. Why? Because I knew better and didn't teach you better. The reason in these last days, ministers standing behind these platforms, we're going to have to start telling the truth, even if it makes you mad, even if it runs you off. We can't be afraid about how much you put in the offering bucket. We can't be afraid about how much you show up and don't show up. If you want the truth, come get it. If you don't, stay home. Go to the honky-tonk. You know, but when you get cancer, when you get sickness and disease, or when all these bad things start happening, who are you going to call in? Call on. You're going to call Robert. You're going to call Vivian. You're going to call Loranda. You're going to call somebody that knows how to pray. Amen. Those things ain't going to help you. And they'll call you if you'll get this revelation knowledge. They'll call you. Why? Because they know you know how to talk to God. Amen. And they know God answers your prayers. They know God knows that when you lay hands on the sick recovers. Amen? Amen. So there was no coincidence that Paul had this revelation knowledge. He prayed in tongues for personification more than any other Holy Ghost-filled person in the Corinthian church. Tongues is the dividing line for the reception of revelation knowledge. Get that. Tongues is the dividing line for the reception of revelation knowledge. You want to walk in revelation knowledge? Pray much in other tongues. There's no shortcut here. Well, I'm going to go to seminary. Go on to cemetery. Sit there for 4 years. Sit there for 4 years. Now, I'm not joking. I'm serious about that. Sit there for 4 years. And when the blind don't see and the lame don't walk, and when you don't see miracles happening, don't call me and go, "Man, what's wrong?" What's wrong is you don't have any revelation knowledge. The Holy Ghost hasn't revealed Jesus to you. Your character hasn't been established in him. And when your character hasn't been established, you can talk to the mountain all day long and it ain't going to move. Because the devil knows you ain't got no power. Because you don't believe what he's written in his word. See, what you want to do is you want to believe up to a certain point, and when that gets uncomfortable, you want to bail out. Finish this verse for me. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony.
And they loved their lives.
Most people can't finish that verse. They love the first part, but they don't like the part about they love their lives not unto death. You want to walk in the things of God? Love your life not unto death. In other words, I'll die for this gospel.
Amen.
Amen. That's where we got to get. Amen. That's where we have to go. It's called the love of God. I love God more than I love things. I love God more than I love myself. I love God more than I love my wife. I love God more than I love my job. I love God more. And God has revealed that love to me. How? By the Holy Spirit and hanging out with Him. Amen?
Amen.
The same revelation knowledge is available to you. As you pray in tongues every day, you'll begin to pray out those divine mysteries. What is a mystery? That which cannot be gained through natural apprehension, but can only be obtained through divine intervention. You'll begin to pray out those mysteries. You'll pray out those mysteries. How many, when I was a young Christian, I used to hear people talk about the wisdom of God. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and we'll give it to every man liberally. And I'm going, if he's giving it liberally, this sure don't look like we got any of it, man. Because the stuff we're doing, it ain't very wise. We're sick. We argue. We fuss. We fight. We hate each other. We keep grudges for years. Don't look at me like that, y'all. Y'all know I'm not looking. I'm talking straight to you tonight.
Yeah.
We do all these things, and we wonder, what's really going on? People ask me, why hasn't God answered my prayers? That's really simple. You don't believe. I know I'm getting rough tonight, but I got to get on through this, okay? But God will communicate with you the same way he communicated with Paul. He will answer your prayers by building you up to better understand the mind of Christ. The word of God will begin to come alive on the inside of you. This, too, is part of the edification process. And we're going to talk about that more tomorrow, the edification purging process. So get ready. You are going to be purged. You're getting ready to be purged. Now, many of you may stop and turn and run back to the front door. I get that. But if you want to go on in God, you're going to have to be purged. Purged of what? The things that the world put inside you. The same way you download information or data on your computer to a disk or memory device, as you pray in tongues hour after hour, you're constantly feeding divine mysteries into your computer chip, your spirit man. Every time you're praying in tongues, the same way as a computer downloads information upon that hard drive, when you pray in tongues, you're downloading mysteries into your spirit, man. And one day, they'll just explode on you.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll go, I understand. A verse that you've been trying to figure out for days, all of a sudden, will come alive to you. I remember one of the first verses that came alive to me was, when he, the Spirit of truth, come, he will guide you into all truths. He'll not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hears, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. All things the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, he will take of mine and show it unto you. God quickened that verse to me, but for several years I couldn't get the revelation of it. Now I got it.
Amen.
Now I got it.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit on the inside of me. He has come, and he's guiding me. He takes me by the hand, and he guides me through every test and trial via the truth of the Word of God. He guides me into all truths. The Holy Ghost doesn't go, well, if I were you, this is what I'd do. He don't say that. He says, he told me to tell you this. You need to do this. Now, what he tells me to do, he may not tell Robert to do. In the same situation, he may give us different instructions. That's God. Now, here's the second part. The first part is simple. He will guide you into all truths, the inward witness. Here's the second part. He will show you things to come. Now, see, if you knew what that meant, you'd be shouting right about now as loud as you could. Because he's going to show you what's going to happen in the next years that you have on the earth. He'll show them to you. He'll begin to show you your ministry to you. He'll begin to show you how you're going to have thousands and preaching to thousands.
Amen.
He began to show me this moment, and I wasn't ready for it, and I ran from it. You ever seen Elijah? You ever heard about Elijah running? Okay, well, I was running. But the bottom line is he began to show me these things. But sometimes you're not able to bear them. You got to pray them out. You got to pray them out. But now, I'm not making an excuse for myself, but let me tell you something. When I started this message, you know what I had? I had the book that you now have. I had a whole bunch of MP3s, and that's it. I didn't have anybody teaching me this. Nobody was teaching this. There was no group like this. There was nobody to go to. I couldn't pick up the phone and go, hey, could you put Dave on the phone? I got a question. That wasn't available to me. And I'd have questions. Well, how does this equal that? You know what I had to do? Keep praying in them other tongues, man. Now, here's what I'm telling you. What took me 5, 6 years, 7 years to accomplish, you ought to be accomplishing in 6 months to a year. You don't have to go to the same route I went. I didn't have a choice. He used me as a guinea pig to bring this thing to this local area and go, now we're going to start teaching this. Because when I went up to Tulsa, I went, I got to have this. But the point I want to make is I listened to MP3s after MP3s after MP3s. How many of you know what the Born Again Trail is? If you don't know what the Born Again Trail is, you better go listen to it. It's at www.daveroberson.org. Go pull up his series and pull the Born Again Trail. And you listen to it no less than 6 times. Now, I'm finna blow your mind away. There's 10 MP3s per series, and there's 7 or 8 or 9 series. How many series is it? It's either 8 or 9 series. I've listened to those things no less than 60 times each, and some of them more than that. Wow. I'm not bragging about that, but that's what it took for me to get this revelation. When I first started listening to those tapes, I'm going, what is this man talking about? It doesn't make any sense to me. He's talking another language. And I just kept listening, and I just kept listening, and I just kept listening. And I went, well, I understood that. And it began to grow. Now, he's one of the best teachers I know out there. One of the best. Now, there's others. But the point is this. He began to reveal these things to my spirit. He began to download this stuff to me as I began to pray. And the thing is what we're teaching you here tonight is you have the same capabilities. The more you pray in tongues, the more you download these divine mysteries onto your spiritual computer. And when the Holy Spirit installs it into your spirit and releases the revelation, suddenly, somebody say suddenly, suddenly. When the Holy Ghost came, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, there came a sound like a mighty rushing wind. The Holy Ghost came suddenly. He wasn't expecting. They weren't expecting him. They weren't going, well, he's due here any minute now. No. They were like, we'll just keep waiting. They'll just keep waiting. Something's supposed to happen. Jesus said something. At least I had enough sense to wait on to believe in Jesus that something's going to happen. But man, when that thing hit the room, can you imagine the commotion that was going on? Goodness. Some of you would have just gotten ran out. Like, I don't want a part of this. Because, I mean, it was a phenomenal experience. But again, suddenly, these mysteries will be revealed to you. And all of a sudden, I get this. You'll begin to understand the mind of Christ. And when that happens, guess what else will happen in your ministry? Prophecy will begin to flow. You'll begin to say things and you're like, where did I get that? I pray things sometimes and I'm going, where did I get that? And I go, that's those mysteries, man. That's those mysteries. That's how I can pray that stuff. It comes out. And sometimes I may pray in tongues before prayer time for an hour to 45 minutes. And then I'll begin to just pray those mysteries. I begin to pray what I just prayed in tongues. Word for word. Word for word. Why? He's given me revelation knowledge. Now, that's not how he normally works, but as you begin to spend time with him, see, you got to have no quitting sense. People are going to tell you, here's what I've heard. Pastor Craig, it don't take all that. You ain't got to pray in tongues. We live under grace. Grace says you're doing worse, Pastor Craig. Well, if Jesus said, these signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they'll cast out devils. You casting out devils? Well, if you ain't, you better get to casting them out because Jesus gave you a demand, a command, not a suggestion. He commanded you to do it. They would lay hands on the sick. They would pray in other tongues. It was a command. It wasn't a suggestion. And if you don't want to do it, well, then talk to him. Don't talk to me. I ain't got to defend it. I don't have to defend tongues to you. Why? It wasn't my idea. If it was my idea, I would have speaking some African language, okay? It wouldn't have been tongues. It'd have been cool, man. We'd have been talking Swahili or something. It'd have been real cool. But their tongues ain't cool. And the thing is this, you got to be uncool. You got to go, you know what? If that's what the man says, that's what I'm going to do. Amen. I'm going to pray. Amen. So the source of revelation for Paul, and this means receiving it, are both revealed in the book of 1 Corinthians. The Holy Spirit revealed to him the hidden mysteries of divine wisdom through praying in other tongues for personal edification. Remember, tongues is the foundational gift. We learned it last night. Tongues is the foundational gift. Actually, it's diversity of tongues. They are the foundational gifts. Well, let me ask you a question, church. If tongues is the foundational gift, why aren't we using more of the diversity of tongues? All I can tell you is Dominion Training Center, we're about to break into them. Everybody in here should be prophesying. Everybody in here should have a tongue. Everybody in here ought to be speaking tongues, and you ought to be able to come and spend time with us an hour a day, and you ought to be coming, breaking the door down, going, get out of my way. I've got to get in there and start praying. You'll notice my posture. When I get here, I don't care what you do. You can go back and talk in the hallway. You can socialize, but you ain't stopping me. Because I know I'm going to spend this hour, and I'm going to spend this hour building myself up on my most holy faith, and I'm going to begin to receive revelation from God. Amen. Praise the Lord. All righty. Was that too rough? Well, that was chapter 6. Come back in about 5-10 minutes, and we'll do chapter 7 if you got the nerve. And I'm going to tell you right now, chapter 7. Do you want to know what chapter 7 says? The title of chapter, y'all know what the title of chapter 7 is? Praying out the mysteries. All right. Praying out the mysteries of God's plan. We're going to talk about someone that can and that prays with you. He's one of the best prayer partners you could ever have. Okay, we're going to start in chapter 7. And I'm just going to kind of start out here, and you can we'll pick up as they all come back in. There is someone at your beck and call that is so knowledgeable of who God is that he, when he prays, he never prays amiss. He always knows the beginning from the end. He is aware of the will of God even for your life. He has the wisdom to keep you one step ahead of the devil. Did you get that? He has the wisdom to keep you one step ahead of the devil, no matter what the devil is prepared against you.
Amen.
Man, this day and age, that's good stuff. He never prays in unbelief because he knows the mind of God thoroughly. He is able to give you minute detail what God has called you to do. What if you could be certain that your prayers never failed? What if you could be certain every time you prayed, every prayer got answered? How would you pray? The Holy Spirit is that prayer partner, and he lives on the inside of you. He can do everything that I just explained. Every time you pray in the Spirit, you are literally praying out the mind of Christ that encompasses the full foundational revelation of the church. The mystery of everything that Christ, the hope of glory, is in you, to you, and through you. He is able to pray out that mystery in you. Who is Christ in me? He is more than just a character in the Bible. He is a person. He is a real person. He lives inside of you. I don't know how it's possible how Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Ghost all live on the inside of me. It's a mystery, and I'm still praying it out. But you know what? How many of you know the Trinity? How many of you understand the Trinity? The Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. I mean, you really understand it. Good for you, because I'm still figuring it out. I ain't figured it out yet. I mean, they are all equal. Well, who's running the thing? All of them. Well, who makes the decisions? All of them. Well, who do I talk to? What's your problem? Well, I need some guidance. Well, that's the Holy Ghost job. Well, I need someone to show me who the Holy Spirit is. Well, that'd be Jesus. See, every one of them have a different function. I've heard so many people pray, Father Jesus something. And they'll pray all three names trying to pray, thinking that they're hitting everything. They're praying okay. But when you begin to address them, they're differently. If you addressed me as Bonnie Craig, I'd be like, what's wrong with you? That's my wife. I'm Melvin Craig. Of course, that's kind of funny. When I, in the old church, I was known as Bonnie's husband. That is kind of cute. But the bottom line is that when he'll begin to reveal to you who each one of them is as you begin to spend time with him. The Holy Spirit has told me how I should talk to Jesus. See, he's the one that laid down his life. He's my elder brother. It's okay to talk to him like that. Now, he's still God. And although he's my elder brother, I still reverence him. But he's my elder brother. Now, if you had an elder brother, how would you talk to him? Hey, bro, so what's going on, man? What's up with Dad? Oh, he's got this going on, that going on. Really? Well, I got a problem. Well, go talk to him. I don't know, man. He may get upset. He didn't get upset with you. Go and talk to him. Well, he might not like what I got to say. Oh, he'll love what you got to say. See, Jesus can tell you how to address the Father. But the thing is, you got to get acquainted with all these guys. And as you consistently pray in the Spirit, you'll begin to pray out these messages for God in your life, and you'll begin to realize who each and every one of those guys truly, truly are. He'll help you find the complete and perfect plan of God for your life. His role essentially in your life is to reveal God's will to you. How many know what Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says?
Therefore, there is now no condemnation.
You way over there. You done left the airport. You're in a whole different city now. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. What does it say, folks? Therefore, present. Do y'all know what it says? Okay, somebody turn over there and read it so you'll know. These are verses that you should know. These are your foundational verses. You've got to know these things. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. What does it say?
It's a familiar one.
I'm sure it is. And I know you'll know when you hear it. And you'll go, that's what it says. Go ahead.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Okay. Now read that again one more time. Verse 2 again one more time.
Oh, verse 2?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And be not conformed to this world.
Now, how did you get conformed to the world? Because, well, born into it was the beginning of it, but the world conformed you to the world as you lived in it.
Mm-hmm.
It taught you how to respond. It taught you how to act. It taught you what fear was. Parents should never put fear in their children. The boogeyman gonna get you. You should never do that. If you run that street, you're gonna get hit by a car. Don't do that. The world instills enough fear in us. Don't instill fear in your children. Explain to them. Even if you're a person, I'm getting probably in the political area here. Even if you're a person that believes in guns, show your children if you handle guns, don't tell them, don't you touch daddy's guns. Now, they could hurt you. Don't instill fear in them. Teach them how to properly handle the thing. Okay? If you have knives in the kitchen, don't go, don't you touch them knives. You might hurt yourself. You're instilling fear in them. You're putting fear in them. And so the thing is, you got conformed to the world. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
But be transformed.
How?
By the renewing of your mind.
Now that's where the church is stuck right there. Many of us have not been transformed. Many of us have not had our minds renewed. Many of us want to have our minds renewed. Many of us desire to have our minds renewed. And let me tell you something. I've read the Bible very extensively. I can find no subject matter that says this is how you renew your mind. There's no verse that applies to it. But it tells you there, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? 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 Go ahead.
That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
God has a good, acceptable, and perfect will for my life. It is the job of the Holy Ghost to reveal it to me, but to get it, I've got to spend some time with him.
Amen.
To discover these two things, there are t- to discover this, two things are critical next. First, I need to find the perfect will of God for my lives. Now, let me ask you a question. Let me go back in a second. If there is a good, acceptable, and perfect will, which one of those three do you want? Which one do you want? Huh? You want all of them? How many you want all of them? How many you want one? How many you want none? Well, praise the Lord. We're moving forward here then. But you want the perfect will of God. You want God's perfect will for your life. Let me ask you a question. Do you want your kids to be good? You want them to be acceptable? Or would you want them to be perfect? There you go. Now, there's nothing wrong with being good. Good is good. But listen, this transfers over to the sower sows the word. He says, and some reap what? Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Do you want 30 or you want 60? You want 100? Come on now. You want 100. Well, let me ask you a question. Who do you think is taking the other 60, 40, whatever percent it is when you get 30%? Who's getting the rest? Why are you only getting part of that? Why are you not getting a 100-fold return? Because you have an enemy and he's stealing from you. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, if you want God's perfect will, what do you think the devil wants you to have? He wants you to have God's good will or God's acceptable will. And so, in other words, he'll always prone you or want you to become mediocre. That's why when you get up in the morning, you don't want to pray. You go, I'm not going to pray today. I don't feel like praying today. That's that good will trying to come to pass in your life. But if you want the perfect will, you'll push them covers back and go, I'm getting out of this bed. Amen. So you need to discover two things. What is God's perfect will for our lives? And number two, how do I pursue it? When you accomplish this, there is nothing, and I mean nothing, that can keep you for all that God has prepared for you. Amen? Amen. So how do we present our bodies a living sacrifice? Does anybody know? Okay, go ahead. That's good. I like that. Yes, ma'am. On your face in worship, that's good. Okay, those are good. But if they're available to us, why aren't we using them? Because the first thing, the first element that must be available to be transformed is hunger. You've got to be hungry. And in 2001, I was hungry. I was hungry, man. You couldn't understand me, but I was hungry. I was hungry. I had just begun to be a minister, and I didn't have a clue what that meant. And I was making mistake after mistake after mistake. I didn't have a clue what that meant. And nobody trained me. They just threw me in there and said, go for it. And I'm going, really? I just got hired and I came on staff and I started being a minister. Now, I had been around church for a long time, so I guess that kind of qualified me. But I didn't have a clue what I was doing. So I became hungry. I got hungry. God, I know there's more here for me. I know you got more than just this. And what I did was, is what? Everybody else was doing the good and acceptable. So what am I going to do? Good and acceptable. Why not? That's how they're getting by. I guess I'll do the same. But there's something about me. I was like, I'm not satisfied with this. I was not satisfied. But you got to have hunger. You've got to have no quitting sense. Meaning, you're not going to give up regardless of the challenges that you face. Mm-hmm. Romans chapter 12 is basically saying this, when the word therefore. When you see the word therefore, you ought to find out why it's therefore. And he's referring to something very important that we need to carefully review before we proceed. So to do that, now jump back to Romans 8. Because that's what the therefore is there for. Go back to Romans 8. Now, Romans 8, verse 1, what does it say? Come on, somebody. Okay, so let me ask you a question. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation. Well, if therefore there is now no condemnation, what was it before therefore came into existence?
Condemnation.
So now what's most of the church walking under?
Condemnation.
So you're still living in the pre therefore, you ain't living in the therefore. Don't shut me down now. This is good stuff. You're not living in the therefore anymore. You're not living in the therefore. You haven't gotten to the therefore yet. You're still living in the pre-therefore. You got to get into the therefore now, now, now. There's no condemnation. Here's what I'm saying. Anytime you hear a condemnation, you sense it, you feel it, it ain't coming from God. And you ought to start resisting like a rattlesnake in your house. You ought to say, I ain't going to bed. It's like, get rid of this condemnation because it ain't coming from God. You wake up in the morning, you go, it was going to be a bad day. That's condemnation. You need to fight that thing. You wake up in the morning and it says, you know what? You ugly and your mama dresses you funny. You ought to fight that thing. You ought to fight that thing. Instead of rolling over and going, well, I'm getting that, that's who I am. No, you're living under condemnation, and therefore there is no condemnation. Old Testament, they live under condemnation. New Testament, you don't have to live under it anymore. Now, if you want the goodwill, live under it if you want to. I was tired of living under condemnation. I got tired of leadership and people putting me under condemnation because they made me feel like I didn't measure up. You can't make me feel like I don't measure up. I don't care how fast I talk. I don't care how different I talk. I cannot be condemned. Why? Because you ain't my God. So therefore, there is now no condemnation. You can make, listen, I don't care how white you are. You can't make me feel black because I ain't black. I'm a child of the Most High God. Color ain't got nothing to do with it, baby. That went out the door a long time ago. Why? Because therefore now there's no condemnation. That's the problem with the race war in this country. We're trying to condemn each other. There's no condemnation anymore. I'm free of that nonsense. I don't care about black and white crime. I care about crime. Don't call me an African American. I'm an American. I'm not concerned about my color. I'm concerned about my creed, which is who I am in Christ. That's what I'm concerned about. There is therefore now no condemnation. Now get this. He has delivered me from the law of sin and death, and he's made the law of the spirit of life available unto me. Too many Christians are living under the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is where sickness and disease, poverty and lack, anxiety, fear, all that stuff. When you got that stuff coming against you, just know you're living under the law of sin and death. So there's something that you have done that has put you under that stuff. I'll go a little step further. Can I just get in your business?
Yeah.
When you got division and strife at your work, at your family, at your job, or whatever, you're living under the law of sin and death. You've let that stuff in your house. And the thing is this, if you by yourself, you have to unengage from that stuff. You got to go, not me anymore. Now, the other party may still be engaged in the law of sin and death. That's their problem, not your problem.
Amen.
Stay in the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Why? He has set you free. And if you'll stay in that law long enough, he'll turn them around.
Amen.
I'm telling you. If you'll begin to walk in the God kind of love, he'll begin to change. He'll make your enemies sit down with you and have a meal with you. Hey! Okay? He'll prepare a meal in front of your enemies and say, y'all going to eat together today.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is this. You can't walk in the spirit or in the law of sin and death. You got to get out of it.
Amen.
Every time you feel yourself in it, you got to go, no, 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 no!
Mm-hmm.
And you got to fight yourself if you have to. But you got to get out of that. And I see too many Christians just walking in the law of sin and death. I can't stand them. You're walking in the law of sin and death. That just makes me sick. You're walking in the law of sin and death. The law of the spirit of life has freed me from flesh, the devil, and the world. It has freed me from sickness, pain, disease, poverty, lack, low self-esteem, pride, etc. These things may exist in the world, but they have no power over me unless I give it to them. And too many Christians are giving it power. Man, the Korean angels don't like me. Why do you care? Why are you concerned they like you or not? I don't care if you like me at all. But you better get over yourself, baby, because when I get to heaven, God's going to put me right next to you. What you going to do then? Huh? You better get over yourself. You got to get past these things, church. It's not about who loves me. I mean, it is about who loves me, but it's not about who likes me and appreciates me. It's who I am loved by. And I'm loved by God. And as long as I'm loved by God, I don't care. Now, I do care about your feelings, but listen, when I have to live in the law of sin and death to care about you, no. You're going to change address. You're coming over here to my side of the street. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. Paul is instructing me to quit walking according to the dictates of my flesh. He is saying, let anger and strife, rebellion, division, hatred, lust, fornication, revenge, let that stuff go and start walking after your new nature. And if you allow the Holy Spirit to train you, he'll begin to show you how to walk after the leadings of your inward witness, and that you will never lead me astray contrary to the perfect will of God. It is the job of the Holy Ghost to teach your new nature that you have been past tense, set free from all of these things. Now get this, Galatians 5:16. So what is my flesh? Who can define flesh for me? Come on, now you got to know these things. Feelings. What is flesh? Oh, you're flying around. Now you done left the airport. You're flying around Houston. What is flesh? Oh, now you ought to know better. You ought to know better than everybody. Flesh is the part of me that did not get born again when I got born again. Oh, yeah. Now get that, write that down. Flesh is the part of me that did not get born again when I got born again. Now what got born again when I got born again? My spirit man. Let me ask you a question. If I was a black man before I got born again, am I white after I get born again? No, I'm still a black man. Now I'm being facetious, but I'm making a point here. So my body didn't get born again, did it not? Okay, so did my mind get born again when I got born again? Do you see what my fight is now? It's the part of me. It's not just the flesh and blood. It's what I think. It's how my attitude is. It's my thinking. It's my way of perceiving things. It's how I respond to things. That is my flesh. And that has to change. Totally change. And let me tell you something. You can't change it on your own. You're not going to do it. And there's so many Christians. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not hating on people. But God doesn't believe in anger management. I'm sorry. Can I give you another one? God doesn't have. All right, now you tell me to say this. Five love languages. Love it or not. Now throw your books at me if you want to, but God don't have five love languages. He's got one. Amen. It's called agape love. Amen. Listen, God is never going to cater to you because of how you feel. He's going to say, I don't care how you feel. This is how you ought to act. I'm sorry I got to step on your toes. God wants change. But you're not going to change trying to change yourself. Can I go further in your business? Yes, sir. We could cut the divorce rate in half in the body of Christ if we would learn how to walk in agape love. Amen. But most churches are teaching a thing called phileo love. And they don't even know they're teaching it. Because agape love isn't something that I feel. Agape love is something that I decide to do. I decide to love you in spite of the color of your skin, in spite of what you look like, in spite of how you talk, where you're from. I love you because I've decided to love you. Why? Because God told me to love you. Amen. Don't shut me down now. But you know what, my flesh? It don't never wants to love you that way. So flesh is a part of me that did not get born again when I got born again. When I was born again, God literally took out my fallen nature that I received from my great 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 granddaddy Adam. He took that spirit out and he put his spirit on the inside of me. Do you realize you're walking around with the very nature inside of you, the one that Jesus had when he walked the earth for 33 years and he didn't sin? You have that exact same nature. It is the job of the Holy Spirit to teach you what your new nature is capable of, and it is free from condemnation. But it's not going to happen overnight. It's only going to happen when you decide, I'm going to spend time in his prayer closet so he can take out the stuff. Ask you a question. If I say we're going to put brand new chairs in this room, pretty chairs, nice chairs, leather chairs, what's the first thing we got to do with the chairs in here? Well, you think God's going to put his stuff in there with your old stuff in there inside of you? He's not going to do it. So there's a purging process that's going to take place. As long as it takes. I don't know how many metric tons of flesh you got. I know I have 34 metric tons of flesh. You may have 17. I don't know how much flesh you got. But let me ask you a question. Do you realize you get a reward for getting rid of the stuff? Never heard that before, did you? He gives you reward for getting rid of the stuff. Why? Because you're growing on the inside. See, I don't have to walk according to my ungenerated flesh, because it's the desire of the devil to keep me in condemnation and sin so that hell can eventually be my eternity. But Jesus took my condemning sentences on the cross, and he went to hell so I didn't have to. Jesus was condemned for me so that I could take on his righteousness. You've been having fun in the back there, Mr. Robert? I was condemned to die under the penalty of every disease, but Jesus took them for me. He bore my sicknesses and he carried my pain. I was condemned to die in poverty, but Jesus became poor for my sake, that I, through his poverty, might be made rich. If I will learn how to follow the leading of the Spirit, he will show me how to live an abundant life while I'm here on the earth. Amen. As a born-again child of God, he has condemned every sentence of the flesh, every single one of them. So my point is this: if he's condemned it, why are you hanging on to it? The only reason why you would hang on to it, because you have not been taught to get rid of it. And if you've been taught how to get rid of it, you're just lazy. Don't shout me down now when I'm preaching real good. You're just lazy. You want to stay in your carnality. You want to fight and fuss with your Christian buddies and friends and hang out and think, we're okay. We'll make up tomorrow, but we're going to fight and fuss today. There's a point, there's a place for in every Christian walk where God wants you to walk free of that stuff. Now, it doesn't mean that you'll never have an argument. Man, the Apostle Paul had arguments with who? Timothy. Him and Timothy got into a pretty bad one. In fact, I'm going to tell you this. You won't hear it from the other preacher, but Paul was in carnality when he and Peter got into it. He was carnal. He should have said, listen, he don't understand. He don't know. He's a young blood. Let me work with him. See, there's times when God will pull somebody alongside you, and they're just as carnal as it comes. And you know what you do? You got to have tough skin and go, I'm going to put up with this for a while. And then as they begin to learn and learn and learn, then you can go, now listen, what you just did was wrong, and that can no longer be tolerated. Why am I saying that? How many of you have children? Would you bring your child up here who was 17 years old and change his diaper and have been draped over your shoulder? Well, then why you expect God to have change your diaper? Don't shout me down now. We want God to keep changing our diapers. Give us some, God. Give us some, God. Give me some. He's going, grow up, use your faith, and get what you want. Getting real quiet in this Presbyterian church. So how do we walk after the Spirit? Romans 8, as far as I'm concerned, is one of the most revealing chapters in the New Testament, because it shows us exactly how to walk after the Spirit. In verse 13, Paul instructs us to mortify or to put to death the deeds of the flesh through the power of my new nature by being edified in the Holy Ghost. In order to release the Holy Spirit to edify and build up my new nature so that it can mortify the deeds of my flesh, I must allow the Holy Spirit to make intercession for me. I must realize that my flesh has infirmities that prevent me from being or doing what God has called me to do. Now, that's the definition of an infirmity. What is an infirmity? Go over to Romans chapter 8, verse 26. And somebody read that, please. Romans 8, verse 26.
Likewise.
Whoa. He said, what's the first word?
Likewise.
Well, what's it like to? You have never asked that question. Well, one day I dared ask him, and boy, he unloaded on me. I've given you a new nature. I've taken the fallen nature out of you, and there is therefore now no condemnation in you. Your new nature has the power to defeat every sin in your life. So likewise, go ahead. Okay, now stop right there. The Spirit also. What is also therefore? I'm just running yarn in a circle, ain't I? What is also therefore? He's confirming that likewise. Just like your new nature can overcome your new nature can overcome the flesh. And once you learn how powerful your nature is that God gave you, how powerful that thing is, you'll go, I've got no business walking in sin. I got no business fussing with my business partner. I got no business fussing with my neighbors. I've been given more than that. They don't have it, but I got it. Just because they don't have it, I got it. So I'm going to walk in it. So likewise, go ahead, read it again. Now stop. So somebody define to me what an infirmity is. Because you never defined it before. Y'all flying around the airport again. Boy, now you trying to get there, ain't you? But you ain't quite got it there. You coming in kind of shaky, sister. But you're coming in there. Infirmity is anything that prevents me from doing what God has called me to do. It's an infirmity. I get up in the morning, and the Holy Ghost says, we're going to pray for an hour. And your flesh goes, we don't feel so good. We didn't get much sleep last night. You were tossing and turning all night long, and you know your boss is going to want to be this and that and the other. There's your infirmity. It's preventing you to do what God has called you to be or do. Your infirmity could be your, I'm finna get messy now. It could be your children. It could be your husband. It could be your job. Can I really get messy? It could be your church.
Amen. Amen.
I'm not calling every church. But what I am saying is this. If you're around people that are talking you out of what God has called you to do, you don't have to pray in tongues. God takes you just as you are. You're okay. You don't have to be what that man says you ought to be. No, you're fine. Paul said this. He says, quit comparing yourself to other people. You know who you should compare yourself to?
Jesus.
Hello, somebody. And if you don't look like him, you better change. Because when you get to heaven, the Father going to go, well, there's Jesus, and there's you. And y'all don't look nothing alike. No, Father, I look just like him. I got a Bible. I got a beard. I left my sandals because I couldn't bring it with me, but I got some sandals too, Jesus. Father. He's like, no. Let me show you a clip here. You see how you was fussing and fighting? Well, they took my son to the brow of the hill and was going to throw him off. And what he did? He just walked right down the middle of them. They plucked out his beard. You know what he said? Here, pluck it. You can have to. Go ahead. When they hit him, he wasn't going, oh, no. He said, go. Hit it. Oh, you're getting real quiet now, aren't you? Mm-hmm. See, do you really look like Jesus now then? Don't shout me down now. Do you really look like Jesus? And you think you're okay? See, y'all ain't coming back tomorrow, are you? You know, come back tomorrow, are you? I'm just trying to tell you. Quit comparing yourself to other people. If anybody talks you out of what God says you can have, you ought to go, no. Listen, I talk to my television. And when I turn it on and I see a pastor preaching, I'll go, liar. You ain't preaching the truth. Click. Why? I don't want that stuff in me. I don't want that stuff in me. Man, I'll tell you what, I critique every message. I can't help myself. I go to a church, I go hear a pastor, and I'm in there critiquing his message. I'm not trying to be critical, but I'm going, you better be teaching some life. One time I was at a funeral, and the guy was so boring, I pulled up my phone and started playing something on my phone. My wife goes, you better put that down. I go, he's boring. I'm about to go to sleep. You can't do that. I better do something because I'm not going to hang in with this guy much longer. This is crazy. You're talking about God took him and God, this was a flower that God just had. Shut up. Shut up. I like what Cheryl, man, I said that one time at the funeral, man, I think I just blew him away. Cheryl, one time she said, I refuse to grieve for someone that's in a better place than me. Man, that makes so much sense to me. Well, I got liberty one day, I said it, and boy, the face just went. I mean, it looked at me like, what did you just say? What am I saying? Don't let people change your testimony. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that statement. That is a very true statement.
It is.
You ain't got no business grieving from somebody that's now living in better conditions than you are. And what you ought to be doing is going, bless God they made it home.
Amen.
And I give him praise for that.
Amen.
Verse 26 said, we don't know how to pray as we ought to pray. But he says the Holy Ghost knows exactly how we should be praying. Amen. He knows how to pray the perfect prayer for every infirmity in your life. You quit trying to fix your problems. Tomorrow morning when you get up at 5:00 in the morning to go pray in tongues, just say, now, Lord, listen, here's all my problems. Bam. I'm going to pray in tongues and you get busy. You know what he'll say? Sound, I've been waiting for this day. Now he's going to say, now you're leaving there now. Because you're praying, and you go, it's been 5 minutes, you're right over there. Has it changed yet, Lord? You know what he's going to tell you? Before I change them, I got to change you. You know why? Because you're the problem. The problem ain't the problem. The problem is simply the symptom of the problem. You're the problem. Y'all don't like that, do you? But it's right. It's spot on, man. That's spot on. When I heard stuff like that in my heart, I went, you don't play fair, man. This is some tough stuff. He goes, son, this is the truth. And you got to get used to it. The Holy Ghost bypasses your soul because that's where your weaknesses are seated. Pastor, how come I can't understand what I'm praying? Because if you knew what you was praying for, you'd stop. You think you're praying for a brand new 2017 pearl white Lexus. And what he's asking you to do is pray that you'll get up in the morning consistently and pray in other tongues. And if you knew what you was praying for, you'd be like, I want to pray for that. I want to sleep in every now and then. So he bypasses your natural mind. He doesn't want you to know what you're praying for. Oh, this is good stuff. If I pray 1 minute in tongues, it edifies me because the origin of it is not me. Do you realize you're not creating those tongues when you pray in tongues? The Holy Ghost is creating those tongues. Now, there's a transfer of power. He'll transfer the authority to you, or you're transferring your authority to him. But the thing is this. He's praying. He's generating those prayers, and he's transferring to your spirit, and he's transferring you're transferring your authority to him to pray on your behalf. When you pray in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost uses it to speak out the mystery of what Christ is in you and the call of God that he has in your life. Somebody read verse 27. There's a phrase I want to cover there before I quit.
And he who searches.
Go ahead. And he who searches the heart knows what?
In mind of
The mind of the Spirit. Let's deal with that for a second. What does it mean, the mind of the Spirit? God has something different in mind for each generation. God has something in mind for every person in this room. God's plan of redemption spans through 7,000 years. But he who searches the hearts, he knows what the mind of God is for your generation. In other words, what I'm saying is this. In this next generation and going forward, you're going to see such a harvest of souls. It's going to surpass anything you've ever seen. Now, but here's the mind of God. So how y'all going to get them all discipled? See, we're running around here talking about, we want to overturn Roe versus Wade. We want to stop abortions in this country. And I think there's probably, does anybody know what the official number is a year? How many babies are aborted? Anybody know? I'm just going to say, you know, it's about, I don't know, it's up in the millions. 3,000 a day, multiplied times 365 days is how many? It's over a million. So let me ask you a question. We start aborting babies, but babies are still being made. What you going to do with them? The mind of Christ. There's going to be an explosion of souls being saved in these next several years. What you going to do with them? They're going to be like you. They're going to be carnal. They're going to run around fussing and fighting, biting each other's backs, gossiping about each other, talking about each other. Is that what you want them to be doing? No. Well, you know, it's your responsibility. So how are you going to train them? 1 Peter 5 says this. It says, the elders to feed the flock of God. Feed the flock. One day the Holy Spirit says, well, what are you going to feed them? I said, I don't know. What do you suggest? He says, well, you won't know what to feed them unless you spend time with me. Because I know what kind of food they need. In other words, you got to go back to God to get the food that they need. It says, feed the flock of God. It says, and don't be one that lords over them. When these babies come in and they got full of the world. Okay, they got a lot of flesh. Are you going to be patient enough to put up with their flesh? Huh? Because babies get messy.
Yes, they do.
If you ain't ever seen a baby, start discipling somebody. It's messy. It's messy. And they're trying to convince you that their flesh is okay. And you're trying to get them to go, slow down, slow down, slow down. Just pray. Because I want the Spirit of God to reveal to you why it's not okay. But God has a mind for every generation. For your church. For your life within that great plan. He knows what God called and predestined you to do before the foundation of the world. That is what enables the Holy Spirit to be your representative, your champion, as he makes intercession for you according to the will of God as you pray in the Spirit. God has a divine plan for your life, and no one knows the plan better than him, better than the Holy Ghost, because he was there when God planned your life. Your natural mind doesn't have it because it cannot discern the things of the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit can search your heart to let you know whether you're right on the right path or the wrong path. Here is the most frightening thing I learned when I first started praying in tongues. Son, you're on the broad way. Excuse me? You're on the broad way. Well, how do you know that? Because you're fussing, you're fighting, you're arguing, you're mad, you're envious, you're jealous. They got a bigger car, you want to get one bigger and one newer. They get a bigger house, you want a bigger house. They get 5 guns, you want to go get 10 guns. You want whatever they get, you want more of it. That's what church is all about. That's what happens in most churches now, man. The guy on the front row, he's wearing $500 suits. Well, you go get you some $1,000 suits. The guy on the front row is wearing $200 shoes. Well, you're going to wear $500 shoes. You're going to have ostrich, alligator, what's the other ones? Whatever kind of skins they got. You want all of it. Why? You got to be as good as they are, man. And you know what's behind all that? Flesh. You're trying to quiet down your flesh. And it's the devil's way of keeping you in a treadmill that you'll never get off of. Never. until you decide I've had enough. I don't care how old my car gets. I used to have a situation. My thing was I had to get the latest and greatest cell phone. You say, what's wrong with your cell phone? Nothing. I just want a new one. Really? Why? Because I just want a new one. Everybody else is getting one. He says, you see, that's your problem. You want to be like everybody else. Why don't you want to be like Jesus? Be like my son. Now, there's nothing wrong with having the latest and greatest of anything. But the point is, I was happy because I had to keep up with my friends. They look at my phone now and they go, man, how old is that thing? It makes telephone calls. I get my emails. I can take notes on it. Leave me alone. Just because yours talk to you and tell you what time of day it is and all that kind of stuff, well, that's fine. Mine doesn't do that. I don't care. Why? I got him. He tells me all that stuff that new one wouldn't do anyway. But he takes the place of that. So I'm not concerned about that. Now, if that one breaks, wears out, you know what he'll do? He'll give me a new one. He's not opposed to getting me a new one, but he's like this, son. You don't want to get one just to keep up with the Joneses. That's the problem. See, I don't want to have a church just because everybody's got a church. I don't want to write a book because everybody's writing books. I want to write a book if it's going to help somebody.
Amen.
That's why I want to write a book. And I know so many people writing books, and I got to be an author. And so what? Where is your voice? What are you saying? Most people that want to preach the gospel have no voice. They don't understand. They just want to get up in front and speak. That's not why we do this. We are doing this to change lives.
Amen.
We're challenging people to change their lives. You can't spend any time praying in tongues and worshiping God without the Holy Spirit taking the plan of God, His perfect will of your life for your life, and enforcing it out ahead of you. When you pray in tongues, He begins to go, God, the Father, this is the plan for Elvin. Now, I see in his future some mess that he created, by the way. He is the one to put all that stuff in play. He said, but he's given me the authority to destroy all that stuff and to put your plan in his life. That's what tongues will do.
Amen.
What tongues does. All of a sudden, when you know he's doing that, you don't care if you're the top dog in the company. I don't want to. Listen, when I came on staff at Lakewood Church, I didn't want to be ordained. And everybody wanted to be ordained. I don't want to be ordained. So they came to me about five years later. No, I guess it was 6, 7 years later. We had moved into the building. And they caught me in the sanctuary and said, hey, man, we got to talk to you. I said, what's up? Oh, man, we want to get you ordained. I don't want to be ordained. I got something to do. Bye. No, come back here. I said, what? We want you to be ordained. I don't need to be ordained. Well, you know what I was saying? God had changed my heart. I didn't care about it. Because ordination just means you're somebody special now.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be ordained. I'm ordained. So what? You still can't preach the gospel? You're ordained. Big deal. You still full of flesh. You still have infirmities. You still have stuff preventing you to be or do what God's called you to be or do. It's still preventing you just because you got 10 titles. I mean, I go in some offices, man, not just the church, but the other. They got degrees lined up around there. You go in my office, all I got is pictures of Jesus up on the wall. My office don't look as impressive as yours. I don't care. You know why? I ain't into that anymore.
Amen.
I'm into getting rid of infirmities.
Amen.
I'm getting rid of being free of condemnation. Because, see, when you go home at night and lay your head on the pillow, you wonder, God, am I going to make heaven? I don't worry about that anymore. I know, God, you're pleased with me. And if I'm not, when I get up in the morning, I go, Shandakrukahaya. Boy, something right here goes, I didn't like what you did yesterday.
Yeah.
What did I do yesterday? Well, when you was doing and talking to so-and-so, you said this. But, are you going to be condemned? You're going to walk in the Spirit. I'm walking in the Spirit. See, he spanks me. But that's okay. Why? Because when I go to bed, I know he and I, we're all right.
Amen.
We're all right, man. I don't worry about it anymore. And it's not a fictitious right or wrong. It's a knowing that I have on the inside of me. That is the result of praying in other tongues. Somebody read verse 28 real quick, please, then we're going to close. Stop. Emphasize the first word. What does it mean? It's in conjunction with the verse prior to it. Everybody wants to preach 820, Romans 8:28 and forget the "and." "And" is the most important word in that verse. "And." Verse 27. What does it start out with?
"And."
What is that? What is it saying? It's saying 27 is connected to 28. It should have been one long sentence. That's really what it should have been. Okay? And so 27 is connected to 26. And so 28 is connected to what? 27. Go ahead. "And
we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose."
Here's the proper interpretation of those verses. As you pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the one who seizes hold of everything in your life that's contrary to the will of God. And then he begins to use the power that you've given him to replace it with God's perfect plan. He, the Holy Ghost, is able to do this because I release the perfect will of God in my life by praying in other tongues. You want to get off this runaway train that you're on? Quit fighting with God. Quit resisting praying in tongues. Get in your prayer closet and begin to pray until the power comes. Begin to pray until things begin to change. Begin to pray until you no longer walking by what you feel, what you see, how your emotions are going about. When you quit walking that way, you're becoming a son of God. But until then, you're walking as a mere carnal man. That's where I started out this morning. I went from the carnal man, now I'm walking to the man walking after the Spirit. And the way a man walks after the Spirit is not how many degrees he has. It's not how many seminaries he's been to. It doesn't matter how many degrees he has from any cemetery or, excuse me, seminary. It doesn't matter. What matters is, do you have a close relationship with God via the Holy Ghost? And now, can you begin to hear from God? Can God correct you and you accept it? And can God show you things to come and you protect it? Can you do that? Well, we covered two chapters tonight. We're getting through this thing. You're being immersed. You hang with us. By tomorrow afternoon, you're going to realize there's something changing in me. I've been challenged. That's what these kind of rallies were designed to do. They're designed to challenge you. They're designed to challenge you to leave here and go, there's something that fast-talking black man said that I'm gonna put that into existence. I'm going to change. I'm going to do that if it hair lifts the devil. And when you start doing things like that, God will go, Lord, sucker now. We got some work in him. Oh, yeah, babe, we got something working here. Bless you. Listen, he's a good God. He wants the best things for your life. He has a plan for your life. He wants you to have the, not the good will, not the acceptable will, but the perfect will. And you ought not stop until you get it. I don't care where you are tonight. You ought to look at him when you go home and say, I double dog dare you to change me as I pray in tongues. He'll go, bring it on tomorrow morning. Bring it on tonight. Whenever you want to, just come talk to me. I'll change you. You can't spend 1 minute praying in the Spirit that God doesn't bring his plan through your life. Now, the thing is this. Praying and stopping is just like praying at all. You've got to pray consistently. This is where most people miss it. They'll pray for a couple of days, and then they won't pray for a month. Continue to pray. I'd rather see you pray 10 minutes a day, every day, than pray an hour a day and don't pray again for 2 weeks. Okay? But the optimum is this, is to get up to at least an hour a day. Now listen, in closing, let me say this. Your prayer time, your praying in tongues is just one avenue of your life with God. It's just one avenue. Listen, there are many avenues God wants to put you on. There'll be times when you'll walk into his, you'll start out praying in tongues, and he'll say, shh, 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 shh. He wants you to worship him for a while. And you'll throw your hands up and say, I give you praise. I worship you. I magnify you. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Father. I give you praise. And you may do that for 30 minutes. And he'll go, you did a good job. Now, he wants you to pray in tongues some more. The whole idea behind these disciplines is that when you come to God, you have a symphony. And you're able to allow him to do whatever he wants you to do. Why? He's looking at your life and going, he's got to overcome this problem. He's going to be a little wobbly, so he needs to be strengthened. It's time to pray more in tongues. Or, listen, he's worrying too much about these problems. He needs to worship me so he can bring the peace, my peace, flooding into his soul. And he'll have you do those things. He's done it to me so many times, I'm going, I don't want to live without you ever again. Amen. I don't want to. This is too good. Amen. And the thing is this, it all started in 2001 when I became hungry for more of God. And I asked a simple question to myself. If John Osteen didn't get new kidneys, could I get new kidneys? And my response was, if John Osteen couldn't get them, neither could I. And God said, you're so wrong. And I went, well, why couldn't he get them? He said, that's between me and that man. What is it to you? I said, well, I just want to know, man, because if it happens to me, he said, that's between him and me. What you're going through is between you and I. And what you want to do is get on this thing and get on it now. And it's been 16 years now. I'm telling you, I ain't changed a lick. I've had many people come and try and change me. You ain't got to do all that. Why don't you just chill out? When I look at their lives, I go, I don't want it for the world. And listen, they drive good. They live in big houses. They have all the opulence you could think of. But deep inside, I can tell you don't have any peace. If your money run out, you're shot. If your body wears out, you're in trouble. They worry. They have anxiety. They have all these things going on, and they can't find peace. But they got the one that changed the water into wine, the one that stopped the sun and the moon, the one that started it all, living on the inside of them, and yet they worry. Folks, you don't want to do that anymore. It's not worth it. Just spend the time in the prayer closet and shift gears and change. You've been asking God. The reason you're here tonight, you've been asking God, how can I make this change? And he's going, here it is. This is it. I'm looking at Myrna. Man, when I first met Myrna, can I tell them your story? Man, she was a wreck. Every 5 seconds, she's crying. She's a wreck. I'm like, child, what's wrong with you? We be in the corner talking. She's like, this is bad. Oh, this is bad. I'm going, you are a wreck. We worked together for, 6 months to a year? She had a huge problem. I don't go into the details. But the issue was she could not forgive someone that really hurt her bad. I said, darling, I ain't going to hug you. I ain't going to stroke your ego. But I said, right through that door is a place called a sanctuary. You go in there and you worship God for an hour and then leave. And it broke, didn't it? It broke. Now she can love the person unconditionally. See, it was these little things will come up and you'll think, I can't go through with this. And God going, I'm just purging you. That's all I'm doing. Just purging you. Folks, we're all going to have our challenges. Stuff's going to happen to you. You're going to think, I can't do this. God's going, yes, you can. Yes, you can. He's talking to me now about going and talking to somebody about asking them to forgive me when I know I didn't do anything wrong. But because they thought I did them wrong, I got to go ask them to forgive me. And I'm like, what do I say? He goes, don't worry what you say. I'll tell you what to say when you get there. And you know what I've noticed? The last week or so, This person keeps circling around my life. I'm going, I never see you. Why are I mean, it's like I'm seeing them every other day. You know what's happening? He's zeroing. He's saying, I'm going to set this up, so you just be ready. You be ready. And in my mind, I'm going, I can't do this. I mean, even right now, there's something in me that says, so how are you going to accomplish it? But the peace that I have is, I ain't got to worry about it. He does it all. He'll give me the words to say. He'll give me the courage. He'll give me the wherewithal to stand up and go, hey, this is what happened. And I guarantee you the deal is this. It'll break something in the spirit. Here's the key. I get a reward for that.
Amen.
That's what I like about it. Amen. Is there anybody here that needs any prayer tonight as we close? After all that preaching, I can't see how you could, but if you do, we want to pray for you. Anybody here that needs prayer tonight?